This is Matt Spiegel, and I can't wait to bring you season two of the PBP, Voices of Baseball. The very best play-by-play voices in the game talk about their craft. It's a job so special that even Joe Buck told us he will probably go back to it.
I'm 53, basically 54. I think it's too early to say nevers at this point in my life. I think at some point I'll get the itch again.
Incredible guests sharing great stories from your favorite teams coming this year. Find us on the Odyssey app or wherever you find podcasts. Podcasts.
Good morning, campers.
Al and Jerry, don't worry, it's only an hour long, and most days it doesn't suck.
Hey, here we go, a couple minutes after 5 o'clock, the Eddie Scazzeri, what is up, and the monster Knick fan that he is, even though he's wearing the beautiful new Expos hoodie that Boomer gave him yesterday. Al Dukes, what up, Al?
Good morning, Jerry. There's so much going on. My goodness, you can pick a sport, you could pick a local team. We've got the Knicks, of course. The Islanders lost.
The Knicks are the story, though.
Yeah, I suppose.
The Knicks are the story. They got the back page and the bottom of the front page.
You got Zach Wilson traded.
No one cares.
False.
Zach Wilson, no one cares.
That's not true at all.
People are happy to have him
off the team.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean...
Zach stinks!
It's completely irrelevant this morning.
Yeah.
Zach stinks.
Well, that's what's funny about sports talk, Jerry. Because the Knicks are the story. But I'll turn the station on. No one's talking Knicks for months. But now we're interested in the Knicks because they're winning playoff games. Is this, Jerry, like the Milwaukee Bucks Twitter account put out yesterday?
Which we talked about yesterday.
That what happened in 82 games, nobody really cares. You do now.
I brought that up to the guys yesterday. Yeah. Like, you post that, fans are pissed.
Yes, they are.
And understandably so, when you're going to charge hundreds, and in some cases thousands of dollars for tickets for regular season games, and then all of a sudden your Twitter account posts that?
Yes.
That's a pretty crappy thing. It's almost a slap in the face to the fans that do spend their money to go to games.
Well, then let's not go to the regular season games, and we'll only go to playoff games, because that's where all the magic happens.
Well, yeah, I mean, you can say that about anything. That is true.
Except NFL, I think, because the NFL is only 16 games.
It is different, yes.
Every game you win or lose is very important.
Every game is an event.
Every game is an event.
That is very true.
What if we did this? NBA 16-game season. And then...
Yeah, just have an NBA tournament.
And then just do like the NCAA tournament, but NBA style.
Yeah. Of course, I still like watching the games, so I wouldn't go for that. But if you want to, that's fine.
Of course, we'd have to cut the salaries down because they'd be a lot less games.
Significantly.
Yeah.
That is very true.
But all that, like, also, do we need to watch sports for the first three quarters of games, or should we just put
Depends on the game.
The fourth quarter, second, third period, eighth.
Depends
inning,
on the game.
That sort of thing.
It always depends on the game. If you get a close game late, then you could, like, I think you could, for the most part, last night, watch the last, honestly, you could come in and watch the last 2 minutes of this game last night and feel like you're caught up, even though you missed everything that led up to it.
Yeah.
Then there are other games that, if the game is decided in the fourth quarter, like early in a blowout, and you just turn it on with 3 minutes to go and a team's down 24, you have no idea how that happened.
Correct.
So it does depend on the way things go. But last night's an example of all you really need to see, for the most part, is the last couple of minutes of that game, because it was, while it wasn't Reggie Miller, it's pretty stinking close to what the Knicks did last night, which was, and that's why we watch. It was fun.
Yeah, no, it was watching the replay when I got in this morning here, Jerry. It was quite an atmosphere, both in the Garden, then again out on the street of the Garden. Do people just come out of the Madison Square Garden and they just land on, what is that, like 8th Avenue or something? Or 7th Avenue?
I think it's all around those.
And then they just go nuts?
It seems like it, yes. Yeah.
Yeah, but they seem like a happy nuts.
They're starved for a winner.
Like, we're not flipping over police cars.
No.
We're not diving on top of cabs.
Not
I don't
greasing
think.
Poles, I don't believe.
Yeah. So I wonder what happens... At what point do you go, let's flip a cop car instead of just like going chanting, go New York, go, which sounds fun.
Well, I don't think, I could be wrong, but I don't think, and it's been a while, I don't think since any time a New York team has won a championship, I don't believe we flipped over cars and acted like complete a-holes. I do think the New York fan has represented themselves very well, comparatively speaking, to other cities. That said... let's see if the Knicks win a title this year, what happens. I don't think they'll react any differently.
Like, well, I was watching videos this morning of the fans out on the streets, and it looked like normally I would run away from seeing crowds of people.
You'll be part of that, don't you?
That looked fun.
Yeah.
Like, I would just jump up and down and go, go New York, go New York, go.
Yeah, they were into it. And that's, you want to talk about, you know, getting a quick high, a natural high. If you're in that building last night, I am sure, not many, but I'm sure some people left in that final minute before they came back.
Oh, man.
They've got to be just miserable this morning. And the ones that stayed, which were most of them, if not just about every one of them, they walk out of that building like, what the hell did we just watch? Like, how awesome was that? And it feels, not saying the Knicks are going to go win an NBA championship, but it just has the feel of a team that's just going to keep finding ways to win.
Right, because again, Jalen Brunson, Jerry, not a good game.
No, tough. They're playing him really tough, and he's not making the shots that he made all season long. The guy who does not get enough credit, and I understand Brunson made the three, and I get that DiVincenzo made the go-ahead three and all of that, is Isaiah Hartenstein. I mean, not only does he get the offensive rebound after DiVincenzo misses, which would have not ended the game, but you would think the Sixers probably win at that point, because I think there would have only been maybe 14 seconds to go, and the Knicks probably commit a foul. They go up to the line, probably make it a two-possession game again. Not only does he do that, but after the Sixers then call timeout, they go down Maxey, who had the game of the night, who is just unbelievable going to the rim. He blocks a shot that would have put the Sixers back in front. So it was the combination of a lot of different dudes, and once again, the Knicks just better.
Do they, like Tommy Lugauer said, have dogs damage? What is the other thing? He goes, dudes.
Dudes, dogs do damage or something like that.
Dudes, dogs damage.
Well, they're doing damage on the rebounding, number one. Number two, they're hitting big shots. They continue to defend. I would say so. I mean, you tell me what you didn't like, aside from being down five in the final minute. I get that. What would you take from that? These first two games that you don't like, other than Jalen Brunson struggling with a shot?
That's it.
They protected their home floor. They basically kicked the Sixers in the head last night. Like, they got to go back to Philly, like, woozy. Like, what? They probably feel like they played better the first two games, but the Knicks outworked them on the glass, and that's why the Knicks are up two games. I don't know why that would change.
So the Sixers led by five, Jerry, with 27 seconds left.
Yeah, so Kyle Lowry's at the free throw line with 47 seconds to go. They're up four. He makes the first free throw, puts them up five. I think it's 47.1. He then misses the next free throw, and then the Knicks go down the floor, and it was Brunson that the ball goes through the hoop with 27 seconds left. It hit the rim, went high in the air, and went through. Then the Sixers go to inbound. They basically pull Maxey to the ground, take the ball away from him. And I know there were other calls that weren't made. Knicks steal it. DiVincenzo misses the three. Hartenstein the rebound. Back out. DiVincenzo hits the three. Knicks up by one.
And then they hit free throws to tack on some more points.
Well, you get the timeout. Then you get the block. Knicks rebound it. I mean, Knicks rebound it. They commit the foul. Knicks two free throws, and there's your game. And then Embiid misses. I wouldn't say, I mean, it's makeable. It wasn't a great look. He misses a three at the buzzer that would have tied the game.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So with 27 seconds left, down by five, if you're one of these dudes who left, when you go into the office today, assuming you're not working from home like most of America, you tell people you were at that game?
I would.
You too. That was exciting.
Do you really want to say you left?
That sucks. I mean, think of how many different events people have gone to and missed.
Yeah.
The greatest part of the event.
No question.
Because we left early.
No doubt.
That sucks.
There's no doubt about it. Not everybody stays till the bitter end.
Yeah.
That is
Like leaving
true.
The Super Bowl
after it, you know, goes to overtime.
Oh, yeah.
You miss the overtime or something.
Not me.
Was that you guys?
Nope.
Was that really? Did you guys leave? You didn't see overtime?
No, I saw overtime.
Well, who are you talking about? I don't know who you're talking
about. I think Eddie left
early. Oh, is that true?
Go, New York. Go, New York.
He's not
go.
Saying that. I'm lost right now.
Okay. I don't know. So is the audience.
Okay.
The
Fair
audience
enough.
Is also lost. So I did see, Jerry, when the Knicks were down 101-96, their win probability was 4%. What kind of bet you think you could have gotten in that situation?
A lot. It would have had to have been quick, though, because that would have been...
right, I would have had to thumb through that app.
Yeah, because Lowry was at the free throw line, so you would have, you really would have been quick to make that bet. I don't know. It would have been... I mean, if you're telling me a 4% chance
4%.
To win, which... That sounds like... I know it was a wild finish, and they weren't supposed to win when you're down five with... And it's a little more than that when they had the ball, with, but they score with 27 seconds to go. In this day and age of the NBA, though, with the three-point shot, I'm surprised that's all the chance was.
Right, because you just keep going down.
Yeah.
Three.
I mean, you go down, hit a three, you're down two, right, because they were down five. You commit a foul, even if they make two, you're down four. There's still plenty of time to go to hit. I don't know. That's surprising. That's all it was.
Do you feel that Nick Nurse is correct in that he was trying to call timeouts?
No,
do
I don't.
Not? Why,
no.
Why is that?
You know, because I heard the clip. It's nothing I know. So, like, I fell asleep at halftime. I actually wanted to stay up, and I tried, and I passed out at halftime. So I came in and watched. I didn't even watch the entire second half. I watched the last 4 minutes of the game, to your point about feeling like you're caught up.
Yeah.
Then before I came in here, I hadn't even gotten to the sound yet, the postgame sound. I heard McMonagle talking about this Nick Nurse stuff, and then he played the clip. I'm like, all right, I didn't notice anything when I watched it, so I went back and watched it again. Does he call timeout? Yeah, he does. The problem with what he's saying is the way he is talking, it sounds like he was demonstrative as they
Correct.
Were like they were having trouble getting the ball, and I thought he was calling timeout right at that very moment. He's not. He puts his hands up in like a pyramid, I guess, to call a play. They inbound the ball, and as soon as he sees Maxey get into a little bit of trouble, that's when the first timeout sign goes. But right as he hits timeout, the ball is knocked loose. He doesn't have it. So did he call timeout? Yeah. Would I have given it to him? No. I don't think there was clear possession at that point. I think the officials actually got it right.
Is that right?
I do.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I do.
Because they said they're filing a grievance.
They can file the grievance. It's not going to matter anyway.
Grievances never work.
No. Think about, how about the two or three times this year where the NBA officials came out after the game and said, our bad, we screwed up. Nothing happens. Oh, okay, great. Doesn't
Correct.
Matter.
Yeah, nothing ever happens when you go like, this game, although it's fun to say, this game is under protest.
You can do that. Doesn't. It's not going to do a damn thing. I think it's like, we went over this when it happened with the Knicks in San Antonio, and I think it was like there was like one protest that ever got upheld in like 1,000 tries. It's not going to mean anything.
Do you think Joel Embiid believes himself when he said after the game that the Sixers will win the series? Or do you think he's trying to psych himself up and the fans in Philadelphia?
That's a great question.
Like, does he really believe we got this?
I don't know how you could.
Because he said, we're good, we're going to win this series.
Yeah.
I guess you got to be confident.
You have to be confident. He's not 100%, that's obvious, and yet he still puts up, you know, last night 35 points and 10 rebounds or something. Maxey's got 35 points, and yet they're still losing. Like, I'd walk out of there and be like, God, what else do we have to do aside from rebound? I would think any superstar at this level feels like they can always go win four games. But that's a great question because I don't know that you can leave that floor feeling very confident.
Right.
I mean, for what Maxey and Embiid have done and for what they've done to Brunson to be down 0-2, I wouldn't be too confident.
Yeah.
Would you?
No, I would not be confident at all.
Now,
but I guess I would say it.
They are going home. I thought a caller had a very good point at the end, before I came in here with C-Mac. If that game is in Philly, do they call a foul on the strip of Maxey? And I think the answer is yes, I do. Yeah, I do think the environment and the emotion, even though officials will probably tell you that's not true, I do think that plays a part.
I didn't see any close-up of that action. Everything I saw was in real time.
Just so much contact.
Yeah, it's a lot of contact.
And
like they're wrestling.
Yeah, and I think I do agree with that caller. If that game is in Philadelphia, they probably make that call. That said, I love that they let them play. I mean, the one thing, look at the scores of these playoff games, if you've noticed. And now we can go back before we take a break to your original point with the Bucks Twitter page. You look at the way games are played in the regular season. It seems like they're just out there to entertain us, and it doesn't matter. While the Knicks played hard all year, now teams are starting to ratchet up the intensity and the defense, and these scores look more like basketball when we grew up. You know, the Nuggets beat the Lakers 101-99. The Knicks and Sixers, you know, 104-101. Even the Cavaliers and the Magic, I think, was 94-84. That's what we're used to, not this 157-130 crap.
Yeah, let's play some defense.
Yeah, so you're getting it, and the officials are letting them play.
Man, you got so much cool sound to get to today, Jerry.
Yeah.
Like just the Knicks stuff alone.
I agree. The Knicks stuff alone is a segment.
Absolutely.
Agree. And then you've got, which we'll get to, I guess, at some point, the Islanders just threw up all over themselves last night in a game that they had to have. The Yankees and Aaron Boone.
Right, that's fun audio also.
It's just bizarre. So, yes, we've got a lot to get to today. So
It's a full-packed show, Jerry.
It is a full-packed show for sure. All right, we'll take our first break. Full-packed show continues, I guess we could say. Coming up next, then you got Boomer and Geo at 6 on the Fan.